Well, good evening. I trust everybody had a good afternoon and enjoyed the services this morning. What a blessing it is to be back in Arizona, be back in God's house with God's people, my church family. What a blessing. And let's get, well, you're glad you're here tonight. We'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we love you and thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of still being in the country, though that may be in a little bit of turmoil going on in our world today. We can still stand and proclaim and preach the word of God. And Father, that makes me pause a moment to pray for even more so the United Kingdom and Canada and countries of such that have had preachers put in prison just simply for preaching John 3:16, preaching against sin. And Lord, I'm so grateful we still have the privilege of that here in our country today. Help pastors and churches to stand boldly to preach the truth of the word of God. And now, Father, help us tonight. Help us to lift our hearts and voices in song as we worship together. May we enjoy a time of fellowship. May we glean from the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Darrell, pray for our offering tonight, please, brother.
Oh, gracious eternal Father, we thank you for letting us come into your house down life's dangerous highways. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the divine word that we will hear from our shepherd. We ask you, Heavenly Father, let our ears attain the words that is given to us, that we can walk out on the streets and tell young boys and girls about how you have saved us and changed our lives. We thank you for what you about to do for us, O Heavenly Father, in advance. And for those who give and those who have not, O Heavenly Father, we thank you anyway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's not uncommon to hear a missionary get a phone call, an email, a request from a friend to go visit a relative or a friend in the hospital because there are no local churches where they're at. And it means getting on a train. For in this case, it was an hour, hour and a half train ride to get to where he was going in the same country there, because there may probably, more likely than not, there was not another sound Bible preaching church in that area, but his desires for his family to hear the gospel. Amen. Have your Bibles tonight open to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. We will not be starting in the book of Revelation, and I have been thinking and wondering about how I'm going to tackle the book of Revelation. I talked to Brother Smith the other day. He said, yeah, Brother Cook, I built it up, talked about it Wednesday night, about you going to the book of Revelation. I said, thanks, Brother Dave. I appreciate all the pressure. But, you know, I believe after the morning message, and after studying for the book of Jude, and after this morning's message, and some of the comments, I'm just going to preach through Revelation the same way I'm preaching through Jude and how I did 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I'm just going to do it the same way. I'm not going to worry about the prophecy. I'm not going to worry about the millennium. I'm not going to worry about all those things. I'm just going to preach through it, and I'll bring in the experts once a year, and we'll have a conference. It'll make it a whole lot easier for me anyway. But that's, I feel a little bit out of my depth tackling some of those things. But tonight we're returning, and if you'll notice, you have an error on your handout. It's real easy to correct. You just mark out the date up there and just mark 6-7 instead, and it's fixed. That's all you have to do. I first started this handout actually back in April, and I ended up doing all the work, all the study, most of the prep, put it aside, ended up doing something. But I've decided to circle back, and we may spend some time tonight and maybe next Sunday night about this topic. But we're going to look at a few things about questions about the millennium. So I know during the time Brother Fagali was here and time Brother Smith was here and has been here on and off, and through the times he's had questions, and we've talked a little bit about some questions. He mentioned some of the men had several questions and talked to him after church, and said they, you know, they were really excited and enjoyed about those things. So I took some of those questions, also did a little bit of a Google search of some common questions that people have about the millennium. So we'll just look at four of those tonight and what the Bible has to say about some of those questions that may answer a question you have had, or you may have already had it answered when Brother Smith was here, Brother Fagali. But we also have some folks here that were not able to be here during that whole time. So we'll look at those four questions here in just a moment. I'm not going to read a key verse, but we'll be looking in the book of Revelation chapter 20. Some, I just wrote that, but we'll just go ahead and have a word of prayer and go right into my introduction in these four questions. You pray for me. I'm out of the warm, balmy, humid weather, back into the warm, dry Arizona, so my throat and eyes are already acting up, but my body will adjust over the next few days, so forgive me for the lozenger I have in my mouth and breaking all the rules of public speaking, but it's going to help me, I hope, with my throat just a little bit. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of being here tonight, and we thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing of having our very own copy with us, Lord. We can carry it. We have a copy at home. We probably may have one in our vehicle. We have an app on our phone with the Bible. How blessed we are to have the Word of God, and we can get the Word of God anywhere we are in the world, and even in many different languages. Help us not take for granted that which you've provided for us. Help us to study it. Help us to be familiar with it. And Lord, help us. We sang tonight that everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Help us to live that out, that we do know who he is. And now help us tonight, Lord, as we look at a few things in reference. Do you really know what you believe about the millennium and some questions that go along with it? Help us tonight. Help me. In Jesus' name, amen. The literal understanding of the millennial kingdom has posed, I believe, several difficulties for some believers. Primarily, I believe, is because they don't always take the Bible at face value when they're trying to understand and look at the scriptures. And as a result, they have several questions that are difficult for them to resolve. But just remember this, Bible believers should not be afraid of honest questions. Bible believers should never be afraid of honest questions. It's good to want to know. It's good to be curious and want to dig and search through the scripture. And today it's so much easier than it has been in days gone by. I remember my Bible college years and had a chance to reminisce today, going back to the late 80s and early 90s, having a family visiting with us, and I was so impressed they remembered us and really taken back a little bit, and him especially remembered. Michelle was asking if she had gotten here yet and was wondering if she was going to sing this morning, because he remembered her singing there in the choir as well as special music. That was such a blessing and a little time of reminiscing with them. And it's good for us to realize that we can always go back and look, especially if you do this, on your notes. I mean, how many of you write in your Bible? I mean, I'm on my third Bible, I believe. My older Bible, my children are already dickering and bucking for position that I will give it to them, and I think I'm probably just going to I need to rebind it is what I need to do. I'm just going to rebind it, and I'll just hold it over their head. No, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I definitely want to rebind it. I personally use a Thompson Chain Bible for my preaching and teaching. I have one other Bible that's a wide margin with no notes, just wide columns to put notes in it. But I always make notes of the date, who is preaching, and maybe just a few thoughts if I'm not writing in a notebook. And I picked up that habit some years ago, and it was even rewarded during my Bible college years of part of some of the requirements we had is taking notes. And we didn't necessarily have to turn them in, but when asked, we had to show that we took notes in chapel. And believe me, through the years, I have looked back on those notes often in my studies and wondering what maybe someone else had to say, or seeing the passages of Scripture in a different light, or even looking for an older Bible in my study to see what notes I may have put down on this passage of Scripture. So Bible believers should not be afraid of honest questions. And today, it's much easier. You can Google it, and now you can ask AI. You can ask a mentor. You can ask a friend. It used to be, Brother Mike, we had to pull out the Thompson Chain reference Bible, a reference book, and had to look up the number and then look up the scripture. It had everything there, but it was longhand, the Strong's Concordance, which was my friend through my Bible college years. See, it may take some digging, but there are Bible answers for legitimate Bible questions, and it's some of those questions that we're going to try to answer tonight. So that first one, how can glorified immortal people be together? In other words, how can glorified immortal people dwell and live together here on earth? And there's been some that's wondered and asked about that during the millennium. This is a reasonable question and one that has caused some sincere believers some difficulty. But it develops from the premillennial belief that we've talked about that resurrected believers will rule and reign with Christ. Revelation chapter 20, In verse number 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You see, the same saints believe that mortal people will still be on the earth, and they will populate the kingdom. Isaiah 65:2, and we'll look at it again a little later. Isaiah 65:2, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die in 100 years old, but the sinner being in 100 years old shall be accursed. So how does this reality affect the millennial kingdom? So let's look at a couple Bible examples. The first letter A there is Bible examples in reference to the glorified immortal bodies dwelling together. The first one is Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. There's an example there in the Old Testament. It's been done in the past. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Can you imagine being there and seeing that? Can you imagine when the time comes, having an opportunity to see those that have gone on before us, and especially these men? It had to be a unique situation for Peter, James, and John. And then we see the second example, the Trinity at the tent of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servants. Here we see some biblical examples in reference to glorified bodies in the mortal body. And then a letter B, biblical example, and we see, go on with some more biblical examples, but New Testament principles. Number one, the New Testament principle, the Lord abides with his children. And it doesn't make any difference now in heaven or in the millennium or the kingdom. He dwells with his people. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. The Lord abides with his children. And number two, the Lord gives his spirit to believers. The Lord gives his spirit to believers. John chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. So here with the New Testament principle, we see that the Lord abides with his children. The Lord gives his spirit to believers. I want to dwell here just a moment before we go on. But isn't it wonderful to know as a child of God, there's nowhere that I go that Christ is not with me. There's nowhere that I go that the comfort of the Spirit of God is not with me. I can remember not fully grasping this principle as a little boy. I was saved. I knew the Lord. I was in church. But I can remember very distinctly being at my mom's home place where she grew up, my grandma Cox and my grandpa Cox. And he died both of my grandfathers died when I was fairly young. I didn't get a chance to know them well. But going there, we always enjoyed going to Grandma Cox's house. And I'm not sure why, but as a boy, we just thought it was pretty neat going to the outhouse instead of an inside bathroom. We thought it was neat to go down to the spring well to take a bath or to clean up or go swimming is what we did, because there was no running water and there was no electricity. But I remember that first night when they fired up the wood stove and to keep warm and had those piles of blankets and needing to get up to go to the bathroom and going to Dad and say, Dad, I need to go to the bathroom. He said, well, son, go. And I said, I'm afraid. He said, son, you know the way, there's a ward path, just walk out there. Don't be afraid, you know the Lord is with you. I said, yes, I know he is, but I'd rather have your flashlight too, you know. And sometimes I think we forget as adults, he is the light. He's like, there's no need to fear. And as the Ron Hamilton song, there's no need to fear when Jesus is near. Isn't it wonderful to know that not just in the millennium, not just in heaven, but here on earth, he is with us in everything that we do. So the Lord gives His Spirit to believers, number two. Number three, the Lord is in the midst of praying saints. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Well, how wonderful to know. And isn't it wonderful when two or three can come together and agree together in prayer and go before the Lord? It's a wonderful thing, and for me, assuring thing to know that it, though it may be in my glorified body, yes, there will be mortal people. Yes, we can live and we can dwell together, just as it gives examples in the examples that we looked at, the Bible examples and New Testament examples. So the next question, how can people be saved in the tribulation period? How can people be saved in the tribulation period? Again, I know many of you probably already know this answer, have already looked at this, have already asked this before in your own Christian life. Some of this was handled as Brother Fagali was here, but just a kind of a recap, and for those that may not have been here. While this, again, message deals with the millennium kingdom, this question here is very essential because only saved people will enter the kingdom from the tribulation period, but we're talking about saved people in the tribulation period. So how is that possible? Very easy, by believing God's word. Well, I'm so glad that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not going to be any different during the millennial time as well. Number one, remember that during the tribulation, there will be many who come to Christ through the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists spoken of in chapter 7 and chapter 14. So we know here by simply the same way we is by believing in God's word. And dear friends, it applies today in this world that we live in, the sinful world we talked about this morning, the apostate world that we live in, the people still get saved the same way. I don't know how many times through the years I've heard people say, boy, he is a hard one, or man, she's going to be a hard nut to crack. But you know what? The Bible specializes in that. And the bottom line is making sure they hear, but also see the word of God lived out in our lives as well. Number two, not only by believing God's word during the tribulation period, but also people will be saved by responding to the word of God. So, simply put, people can be saved during the tribulation period by believing in His word. And look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It does not change. It's by believing God's word. And that kind of nothing else I'm going to plug in here. I'm still amazed. I'm 62 years old today. I'm 62 years old. And I can go back to 82. The last summer that I went to camp, Bill Rice Ranch in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It was the last year that I went to camp. I was 18 years old, but I was still considered a teenager. I was allowed to go to camp, and so I went. I enjoyed the time at camp, but the Lord changed my life that summer at camp. I was already saved, already followed the Lord in believers' baptism. I already had a desire to want to do right. I didn't know what God wanted me to do, but God sealed it that week at camp. And I got so stirred and I got so excited about serving the Lord and living for the Lord. There was so much that I did not know, but there was one thing that I did know, that I was saved, a couple things, on my way to heaven, and I wanted to serve the Lord. I was so excited that I thought, why wouldn't anybody that heard the gospel trust Christ? I was still young enough and naive enough that anybody that heard the gospel would truly repent and trust Him as their Savior. I found out real quick as I got home from camp, excited about the things of God, wanting to talk to my friends on the ball team. One last summer finishing up ball before I went off to college, wanted to tell them about my experience. They were not as excited as I was about it. And yet today, it's waxing worse and worse and worse. And that's why it's so important that we remind ourselves the same scripture, the same word of God, the same way to heaven is by believing God's word, and we need to continue to hammer away, continue to share the gospel. We must, in letter B, by accepting God's Son, not just believing his word, but goes with by accepting God's Son. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It does not change. It has not changed today. It will not change during time of the millennium. It's still the preaching and the teaching of the word of God that changes the life of sinners. So how can people be saved in the tribulation period? Simply put, by trusting God's word. But dear friends, I don't know about you. I still believe that anyone can be saved. No matter how hard, how much of an atheist they say they are, how evil they say they are, God can still change the life of men and women. They might just need to hear it one more time. And isn't it gracious of our loving Heavenly Father that he's still going to give people an opportunity to hear and trust Christ during that time? It's not cut off at that time as of yet. Number three, the third question. How can rebels be in the kingdom if only believers enter it? Many feel have the idea that only Christians, only believers will enter it. But something that's important to remember is that millennium kingdom is going to take place not in heaven, but here on earth. And while only saved people will enter the kingdom, that does not mean that all of sin's consequences will have been done away with. So how does that relate to salvation during that 1,000-year reign? First of all, letter A, because of the physical. You see, number one, in that area, there are many verses that indicate there will be mortals in the kingdom, as we have already seen earlier. And that means that people will be there, some in their glorified bodies and some in physical bodies. And as a result, there will also be marriage and offspring in the kingdom. And that will require babies to grow to the age of accountability and to make a personal decision either or against the Lord Jesus Christ. Even during the millennial, even during all those things that have taken place, there will still be people who reject. But yet, praise God, there'll still be more that come to Christ. Back to Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 60. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So because of the physical, there will be rebellious or sinners in the kingdom, and not just believers. And then letter B, because of the spiritual. Just like now, sinners will need to trust in the grace of God for salvation in the kingdom. And for those who do not, they will be separated from God forever. And we see that in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse number 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So yes, there will be rebels, there will be rebellion in the kingdom, there will not only be believers in it. And then the last question that has been posed, how can rebels be in the kingdom if Jesus is there? Actually, rebellion against God, even in the throne room, is nothing new. We go back to in our Bible in the Old Testament. Letter A, consider the throne room of heaven. Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made an edge about him? and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thy hand now, and touch not, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Yes, there will be rebels in the kingdom, and even though Christ is there, but we also need to remember that how can rebels be in the kingdom if Jesus is there? Because we, letter A, consider the throne room of heaven. Devil has not changed. He has not changed who he is. He is the same as he presented himself there in the book of Job, in the Garden of Eden. He has not changed up until the very end. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, you know, we see what's going on in the Middle East and how precise our military army and air force is, as well as Israel. That precise hit of being able to kill the leader of Iran, the Khamenei, they knew exactly hit and exactly where he was. They had every opportunity to say, with that precision, with that accuracy, to take out the leader, just a few others, not the whole area, but just that wing where he was taken out. You would think the rest would step back and say, with that type of precision, I think it's time that we throw in the towel and regroup. But that's not what they're doing. And guess what? Though Satan knows, he's not throwing in the towel. He's just regrouping and reinventing himself to another person each day and day by day. He is not going to give in. And there's no doubt, even during this time, there's going to be rebellion in the kingdom, even though our Lord and Savior is physically present. And another thought that I had, and I'll go through and finish this up. Can you imagine being there in the Gospels when the Bible talks about the feeding of the 5,000? Can you imagine of being there and maybe those that might have mocked and thought, how is he going to feed all these people? And then to imagine that he took this young lad with the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, blessed it, gave it to the disciples, and they distributed to the people there. Even after seeing such a great miracle, there were still those who did not receive Christ. And it will be the same way until it is all over, until Satan is finally bound and cast into the lake of fire. Because of the physical, and then let it be, consider the cool of the garden. Again, a place where we see that even though Christ had made himself and showed himself strong, there was rebellion. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, 7, and 8. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Just like there in the Old Testament, there's still going to be an ongoing of deceived people being deceived, Satan reinventing himself in another way and deceiving and fooling people up until the day that he is bound and cast into the pit. And then letter C, consider the reality of Judas. Again, another example. Can you imagine with Judas? Of course, we know that Judas wasn't saved, but how much time did he spend with the other men? How much time did he spend with the Savior? But yet, he still rejected Christ. How often we've heard stories of children growing up in church and hearing the gospel and maybe never making a profession or making a false profession because all their friends were doing it. They were just going through a routine. It's why it's so important with children that we make sure that they fully understand what they're doing and realize and seeing their need for Christ. And this will continue and cycle over and over and over until Satan is bound. Mark chapter 14 and verse 43. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. You know, I thought about that again today and this afternoon and the message and the story I shared this morning about the church was not even in my notes. Again, it came to me while I was preaching because I read it this morning, and something I normally don't do on a Sunday morning. I try to stay away from some of those things. But the Lord, in his timing, he knew it would fit good in what we were talking about. But those things are going to go on. Just because we know the world is going to wax worse and worse, it does not change who we are. Just because we know it will continue until the day that Satan is bound, even though we get excited about knowing of the return of Christ and the millennial kingdom being in heaven, Satan is still who he is, and it does not change who we are. So we should do all that we can as believers to do what we can to reach as many people as we can while we can, because our world, again, is waxing worse and worse. And even today when I read that article before I close this evening, it made me pause and to think, and what I thought of, if the Lord tarries his return, what's it going to be like for my grandkids? What's it going to be like for other family members that I know that have not yet trusted Christ, or those that maybe have trusted Christ but it's going to grow up during this time as our world continues to change and become more and more apostate and ungodly in this world? I am so glad that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I know that I am preserved, I am kept, I've been bought with a price, and even though I may still have many questions about the Bible, though I may have many questions about what and how the millennium may be and how heaven might be, there's one thing that I don't know about, that I'm not concerned about. I've got a reservation. I know I'm going to be there, and that brings so much comfort. But until that time comes, I keep reminding myself to try to do all I can to make a difference, even if it's just one soul at a time, one mentor opportunity at a time, one opportunity to share my faith, and somehow redirect them with all their many questions, trying to answer some, but getting them back to the facts. And the reality is, ye must be born again. So more importantly, more important question than do you really know what you believe about the millennium is, are you really prepared when Christ returns? Do you know where you will be? Do you know where you will spend eternity? And I'm so grateful to know that I know, and far to my knowledge, most everyone here tonight has made that profession, but there's many more that do not know. And I look forward to an opportunity in coming weeks and months here at Harvest, seeing more people come, more people hearing, and more people giving their life to Christ. Some of our children, as they grow older in our children's ministry, making professions of faith in Christ and giving their life to Christ. I'm looking forward to those times. Let's pray. Father, again, we are so truly grateful for the privilege of having the Word of God and knowing that the answers to our questions are there. And even though so many of the questions we may have, we may not fully understand the answers, the basic questions of knowing where we will spend eternity is settled, and we know that. Help us to continue to learn, to glean from the Scriptures, to look at history, to look at current events, and knowing that the imminent return of our Savior is near. But until then, Lord, may we be found busy and about our Father's business. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless our weakness. Bless our week, and give us an opportunity to share our faith and to be a blessing to those around us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, as always, remember the Lord loves you and his preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week. Gentlemen, if I don't see you before then, I'll see you Tuesday morning.